Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, February 10th, 2008. This is episode 50, entitled Lunar Festival 2008. I'm Aprilian, your host, and our co-host is...
Glanther, hello.
And of course, we're both of the Earthen Ring server. Let's get to today's episode. So, once again, it's that time of the year, the Lunar Festival. Seems like we were just doing the Lunar Festival. Oh, wait. That was a year ago.
There was. It's like the holiday that they have that you never, like, you don't look forward to it the same way that you look forward to Hallow's End or
Winter's Veil.
Like, you're not expecting it. One day you kind of just log in and you're like, what's all with all the firecrackers? What's going on? And then you're like, oh yeah.
Well, actually, I think that this is a very important festival for those of us with alts, because one of the best things about the Lunar Festival is you have this moon. It's moonshine, right? The circle?
Yes.
That you can teleport in. And so, well, let's go back to the beginning. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay. Well, Lunar Festival is about honoring the elders, and there's two parts to the whole thing. The first part is when if you're in Orgrimmar or Stormwind or Thunderbluff or one of the major cities, you'll see these people dressed up in these fancy little pantsuits, and there'll be a quest to invite you to participate in the Lunar Festival. And, well, there's actually many parts, but this is the beginning of it. And you click on that, and you accept the quest, and they'll tell you to go to one of the places in the major cities where there is the Circle of Light, and there's the quest giver, and there's an elder, and there is a vendor selling various fireworks. And he also sells some kind of moon juice. Have you tried that?
I haven't tried it, but I know what you're talking about.
It makes you glow. It's kind of neat. So when you go to turn in that quest, they give you another quest that invites you to get a invitation to Moonglade. And in order to get this, you have to set off 8 fireworks and 2 cluster fireworks. The thing that I realized about, especially if you have alts, is bring your alts together. And even though they're not that expensive, and so you're not worrying about the money, but it applies to the whole group. So if one person sets them all off, then no one else in the group has to set them off. Or if one sets off 2, and then one sets off 2, you know, then it all applies to the group. So it's great if you are dual boxing and you can bring, or triple boxing, and you can bring all your alts together and do it as a group thing. Of course, like I said, they're coppers, so it's like no big deal to just go ahead and buy them yourself and do them. And
I actually did it twice with my alts because I liked setting off the fireworks. I was like, it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, I had to do it twice with one person. Well, I've been doing all my alts, and I have that gnome in Ironforge that I used that was a part of the whole running of the gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Back with my guild, and she's level 2, but I wanted her to get all the flight paths in all the major cities. And it might not seem like, well, why would you want a level 2 to have it? But it will come in handy later, and you never know when one of your alts is going to be one that you want to end up playing. Even your bank alts might, one day say, oh, well, look, that one's sitting there. I might want to play him. So it's fun because you get these little guys all over the place. And you get to see places that you normally wouldn't see at that level. And once you get the scroll, and you complete the quest, and you get the scroll, then you can click on the scroll, and it will take you to Moonglade. And now there's this one spot in Moonglade that's turned into Party Central. It's kind of cute, don't you think?
It is, and kind of a and as cute as World of Warcraft can be.
Right. It's like a World of Warcraft rave.
With giant cows and long-eared purple people.
Right. So what happens is there's circles for each of the major cities, and the representation of the races. There's one with a bunch of dwarfs standing around doing those kicking dances. There's one with the undead, the chicks doing their swirling thing, and then there's the Taurens, etc. And each one of these circles takes you to a specific city. Of course, you can't port to another city. You can't port to the opposite faction city, can you? I don't think so.
No, I don't think you'd be able to do that.
Right. And definitely on a PvP server, you wouldn't want that. But, so, you get into Moonglade, and once you get to Moonglade, I advise everybody to run over to the, to get your flight pass. There's now both one for Alliance and one for Horde. Last year there was just an Alliance flight path, but now there's both. The Horde flight path is over by the cave to the that takes you through to Winter Spring and Fellwood.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yeah, right down the hill.
I was kind of a little bit of a precursor to what we're talking about later, but I have two new characters and they're both Horde. And I remember I was running around in Moonglade because I could not find that blasted flight path. I didn't know where it was because I'm so used to playing Alliance. I'm like, it's right here. Why is it not here? Okay. So thank you.
And then the other thing is, you can if you teleport to all these other cities, at each circle, there's going to be an elder. And now the elders are of all different races, and they each have a name, and they all will give you two things will happen. When you click on them, they'll give you a token. Now, they are a quest, but you don't need to have a free quest spot to complete the quest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you have 25 quests, don't worry about getting rid of a quest, because they actually do not actually take up a quest slot. You click on them.
They're not even like, they're like the strange quest, because it's over the same time you accept it.
Right. It's an instant quest. And then they give you a coin. And these coins can be used for food buffs and patterns and outfits. And we'll talk about that at the end, because when you gather up all your coins, you're going to come back to Moonglade and you're going to go over to Varstrong. Is that the guy's name?
I think so, yeah.
Moonglade. And him and his sister will allow you to trade your coins in for various prizes. Some of them are really good. Some of them are there's dresses, pantsuits, dumplings. There's a tuned camel candle, which is good for PvP. Or for any fighting. Then there's rockets, rocket launchers, and then there's recipes, including patterns for festival dresses and patterns for festival suits. These are great for, sharing with your friends or selling or for partying if you have a guild or whatever. And there's also a pattern for a schematic for a cluster launcher. So it's a lot of fun, and you get things and you get to run around. The fun thing, though, I don't know if it's fun for some people, is finding these elders. How many have you found?
You know, well, this week was a tough week. I only was able to find, about 10 of them.
Right.
But, years past, I remember, Glanther went basically all over, this is before Burning Crusade. I remember I did this. Wow. I mean, I was playing Glanther before Burning Crusade. It's crazy. But, I basically went all over the Eastern Kingdoms and Kalimdor, and I found, I think, like 30 of them. I don't even know if that's how many I found, but basically most of them. I think I found them for most of the characters that were there.
There's actually 50 of them.
Oh, okay. Then maybe it was like 30. Because I remember I was like, oh, okay, I'm done. Like, I knew I had more to go, but I was like, I'm done.
Well, some of them are in instances. And some of them are in places that are just impossible to get to. There's one in Azara that's way down in the southeast corner, and it's extremely hard to get to. You have to fight through, there's giants, and there's level 50 something elites, and there's those flying, oh, those hippogriff things that come from out of nowhere. And I spent, I'm almost embarrassed. It was stupid, but I had, once I started, I spent 2 days with five different alts trying to get to this spot. And I wanted to get, I'm really anxious to get Aprillian out, as many coins as possible, because she's a tailor and I wanted to get these suits. And so she got out there, but she had to die. She died a lot. She was with, I triple boxed her. She's a level 40. Oh, by the way, Aprillian dinged 40.
Yay.
And she's a warlock. If you, I know people think warlocks are hard, and they are. They're not as, there are some advantages to them because they do have the pet, so they're almost like two characters, but there's a lot to watch. And the hardest thing about it is maintaining your soul shards, because if you forget to get a soul shard or you run out of soul shards, then you're almost useless as a warlock. The other thing is that it's very hard balancing the sucking. The channeling, I'm sorry. Then when you get the soul, and the soul shard has to be at the
Like you're too
last
busy
moment.
killing, you're not doing enough sucking.
Right. And if you kill it before you forget to transfer over to soul sucking or soul channeling, you won't get a shard, and it's very frustrating. Plus, it has to be at the right level. You can't just go out and it has to be something that you get XP from. You can't just go out and kill a bunch of low level things and get a bunch of shards. And it can't be too high, because I had Aprillian hanging out with Aunt Rillian, who's 62, and Realfire, who's 58, and she couldn't get shards from these 50-something level people, I mean, mobs. So you have to kind of balance it. The thing I've been trying lately is do life drain and then do soul drain, because you can switch back and forth between the two of those. But if you are, doing a shadow bolt, or even doing something like wand, and you have to step back, you have to escape and get out of that before you can go over and start doing the getting the soul shard. So anyway, so she was, and then she, I kept soul stoning her, but soul stone is great, but once she has to wait 30 minutes before she can get another soul shard. So anyways, it took a long, I'm trying to get you to understand how hard this was, because first of all, there's no direct path. You have to go through, have you seen Azara? There's a road going up the middle of it. Have you
Yeah,
been
and
here?
then it branches off, and then there's all sorts of people, like the dragon, like the dragon hide leather worker, is
Right.
like somewhere in like the southeastern part, and it's like impossible to find these people because
Right.
they're all stuck in the middle of these elite mob areas, and
Exactly.
it's annoying. It's annoying, but it's fun, but
It's fun.
annoying.
It was a challenge. And finally, she got out there, and I wanted her to get out there because she's a warlock. I mean, yeah, warlock, and she can summon. So I got her and a couple of my other alts out there, and then we started summoning. I summoned someone from the guild, Alaiacta, and then I was able to summon most of my alts. And then we had this big summoning party. It was actually kind of fun. And thank you, Toshika. That's one of the people in my guild. She's a mage. And then after we summoned people, she ported them to different places to chat and stuff. So that was quite a lot of fun. And so now we're out getting other coins. And I'm trying to get Ardrian up to 35 because he's gotten his leather working up to 225, and then you get stuck at that level. But it's kind of funny to travel with him now. Once you start getting gear, art, I mean alts that are riding, it's very hard to go back to walking.
Oh, yes, I agree totally.
Yeah. And then once you get all these coins and you go and you turn them in. Oh, and the other thing that's very important and not to forget about getting all these coins is that you get rep for each, for the horde. So if you ever, you know, want to think about getting exalted for a mount or for whatever, this is a good time to go out and get a lot of rep. Because it's like each time you turn in a coin, you get 75 rep points for all of the factions of the horde. That's pretty good. So, and the other thing I wanted to mention was Aprillian got, she turned 40, and because she's a warlock, she got to buy her riding skill for like 9 silver. I think I might have mentioned this before on another alt. Who else have I had that turned 40? My Awari, my other warlock. And then I went out to Silver Moon City to see about getting a chicken, because she got the fell steed, which is great. The fell steed's great, but I wanted to see the chicken. Once she looked at the chickens and she bought one, the chickens were only 9 gold. You know, when you get a regular
mount. I remember, like, Alaris had that, where he had, at level 40, you get the riding skill, and you get a war horse. But then he went and he saw the elephants, and I got an elephant.
For 9 gold.
For 9 gold. And it's this, elephants are kind of neat. They're kind of like Kodos, but with tusks.
Yeah, I think I want to try one day on a alliance to get an elephant. But they were so pretty, she couldn't decide which one. She got 3. She got a black one. She figured that would be for going out at night when she's dressed up. She got a red one and a blue one. And I love it. I love the animation with the chicken. I love the fact that when you jump, the wings spread. And it just feels, the way it canters, it just feels so Blood Elfian. Is that a word?
We just made it up. It's up there with truthiness and falsity.
Yeah.
Palinor, my level 22 Blood Elf mage, I'm looking forward to someday getting him up to being able to get a Sunhawk. But, it's going to be a while.
What level is he?
He's 22, but mages are hard to dual box, and I'm obsessed with dual boxing now, so.
So, yeah, let's get on to what you've been doing, Glantha.
Well, thanks to the kindness of Aprillian, I was able to create a Burning Crusade account. So now I have 2 accounts, and I was able to start my dual boxing, which I've been kind of dreading for a while, because I felt like the next stage of the relationship I have with World of Warcraft. It's like you've dated for a couple years. You know, sometimes you're concerned about is it still exciting? How do I go that next step? And, you know, and it's, you kind of decide, well, I guess it's time to settle down and dual box. And then after a little while, of course, you get to triple boxing, and then you have to be all responsible. But anyway, I'm at the dual boxing phase, and it's fantastic. I'm in the honeymoon phase of the dual boxing. I made a Tauren hunter named Harunda, and I made a Tauren druid named Harond. And Harunda is an extra milestone for me because it's my first female tune.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, I've made my first female tune, and I kind of wanted to have like a little story. Like I haven't even fleshed them out yet, because one just happens to be, you know, boy druid and girl druid, girl hunter. But I don't know if they're brother or sister, if they're friends. I don't know. But like they're the same. They're the same characteristics. Like they have the same skin and eyes and horns and things like that.
Oh, nice.
So maybe they're going to be twins, but they can't be twins because you have the twins.
Yeah. Well, so there can be more than one twin.
Well, I don't know. But one thing that's interesting is that, you know, hunters are really great to start dual boxing with, because you can just send in the pet, you can, you know, press auto shoot, and then go in with your main tune that can be just about anything, really. Like, you can, I guess you could actually dual box with any character and a hunter.
Right, yeah.
So if you do dual boxing, you need to make a hunter, at least when you're learning. I chose a druid because I wanted to kind of have a tank and a rogue. I kind of wanted to explore that a little bit, like actually make a shape-shifting druid. But I'm finding it to be a little difficult to get to, at this point anyway, at level 15, or not even level 15, what are they at? They're at level like 13. At level 13, it's tough because by the time I shape shift and I run over to the target, you're between the Harunda's pet and her auto shoot and her stings and everything. It's actually almost already dead. So I basically just come in and get one swipe in, so I'm not really doing anything yet as a druid. But that's going to change really soon. And macros are actually a lot more tough than I thought they were going to be. Because there's a programming language to them. And I've been going through, I've been doing a lot of research trying to figure out like how they work. And I've only been able to make some really basic stuff. Like they have I can't I've for example I can't figure out how to do multiple buffs because I can't figure out how to incorporate the cooldown. Because I wanted to have Harand be able to just go and buff Harunda with a single button. So that way he would cast Thorns and Mark of the Wild and that's it. But when I do one, I get an error message because there's like a quick cooldown period between buffs.
Yeah, you might have to just do one, make two buttons, click on one button, click on the other. Yeah, I guess so, but then that's kind of silly.
No, but that's the same thing as having just a key command, like a keystroke. So it's not a macro.
Yeah, I think there might be a way to do a wait.
What I was able to, there's a macro that basically says stop casting, which just pauses it. So basically, you press a button, you cast once, and then you wait for the debuff to go, and you press the same button again, and it casts the next spell in the series. But like that's almost the same thing as having two different
Button.
buttons. So that's not working. But one thing that I do have that's nice is that I have the follow macro and I have an assist macro. And basically all it does is that, the follow macro just has, Harunda follow Harand or Harand follow Harunda. And then the assist one is, it's like assist Harunda, assist Harand. So all you have to do is if Harunda's fighting, I go to I command tab or alt tab over to Harand and I say assist Harunda and he kind of turns, targets her target, and goes into attack mode. If he's out of range, he won't do anything. I have to then run. But it's a great way for you to not have to press tab looking for the nearest mob. Because when I first started, I would sometimes go in with Harand, and then I would tab with Harunda, and I would get a different mob by accident. And so I'd pull another
Right, you
mob.
pull another mob,
So by doing the assist, you basically guarantee that you won't get another mob. But the way that I do it is that I have Harand following Harunda everywhere because she's the hunter, so she's the puller. So he follows her around until she finds a mob. Then she sets her hunter's mark. She sends in her pet, who does not have growl turned on, because that pet is there just for extra damage. Because if you're going to be a tank, especially if you're going to play like a paladin or a warrior or something like that, you want to be the one who gets the aggro. You know what I'm saying? Because the main character has all sorts of like things for like paladins, for example, like my Tankadin that I have. He needs to be aggroed because as he blocks with his shield, they get more damage. But you can only block if they're actually attacking you. So I turn on, I don't have growl on the pet. And I send in like my pet Lou, it's his name. And he goes and he starts fighting. And then Harunda casts her mark, I mean her stings, auto shoot, and then I go switch over to Harand, shapeshift, and go in.
I just want to point out here, like me, and we mentioned this in the last episode, but I like to, I assume some people don't listen to every episode, but we both have multiple monitors. And when you alt tab back and forth, you're actually moving back and forth between the two monitors, right?
Exactly, yes. Okay. Now, you could dual box
with one monitor
with the screens behind each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend that because it's very, very easy to lose the other character. At least you can kind of look at it in your peripheral vision to see if there's another mob that comes within, like, aggro range.
Right.
Because that can happen sometimes. And you can, if you're not careful with the other character. Plus, there's also the idea that sometimes the follow command is not very smart.
Right.
Like, they'll get stuck behind a tree or a rock.
Corner.
Yeah, and then you're going along and you're like, well, where's my other character? And by the time you realize where they are, you have to kind of run all the way back.
Or don't... It's hard to do follow when you're climbing one of those towers, like for the Zeppelin or the
mm-hmm.
Flightmaster in Orgrimmar. You have to make wide swinging movements of your lead character.
Or you get to stop every once in a while and catch up and go and stop.
Yeah. Well, good, but you're finding it lots of fun, aren't you?
It is lots of fun. It keeps you on your toes, if nothing else.
And you get to go in places that you normally wouldn't be able to go.
Definitely.
Like one person.
And the way that with patch 2.3,
mm-hmm.
they got rid of a lot of the elite mobs for quests that required you to group.
Right.
So it's even easier to go and create groups. The one thing I have to say, though, about questing is that the quests that you have to collect things,
yeah.
those can be a little like when I have to go and get like 14 of something, I really have to get 28 of something. And if it has a low drop rate, then you're going to be there all day.
One thing that I've learned, too, with that is I usually try to get the following person to complete the quest first. Because that way you can still see it. You know, some things you won't see if you're the lead. I guess it's different if it's just something that you're killing. But still, even if you're killing, usually the lead person killing and looting... The lead person is the one doing the looting.
Yeah, that's true.
So
though I have mine set to group loot, so that way they just kind of back
have to
and
go
forth.
Back. Oh, you do group loot. I always do free for all.
Sometimes I do free for all, but mostly it's group loot. I only do free for all when one of their bags is full.
Oh, okay. Because then you have to watch and see who has it. But I guess with just two, it's easier to see. One thing I do, I set my monitor, the view, the camera for the following person. I set it back a little bit so that
well,
I
that
can
makes
see
sense.
Further around. I can see the person in front of me clearly, and I can see what's going on behind me. And then the one that's leading is focusing on what's going on. But good. Well, welcome to the land of dual boxing.
Oh, but it can be intense. Especially when you do bring in that extra mob by accident, you're like, oh god, I can't do healing at the same time. That's my thing, is that I can't attack and heal at the same time. Because
mm-hmm.
I do like that mad dash, like command tab, like 8 times. Be like, where is it? Like, I lost my window. And you have to try and find it again. And all I can, they look almost identical when on two different monitors.
Right.
The only way that you can kind of see it is that I have to set my background to like just a, like a, like a solid color background.
Right.
So that way I can see a drop shadow.
Right, which one's active. One thing I use, I find very handy though in those cases, is freeze trap on the hunter. I don't know if you've gotten that level yet.
No, not yet.
But that's going to come in handy later on because you can set the freeze and just make sure that the mob heading for the freeze trap hasn't been targeted with any dots. And then, you can just keep on shooting the other one until, till he's down. And also,
mm-hmm.
fear. Fear is really handy in that case, but I don't know if you've gotten up to fear yet.
I don't have fear in this case because I have a druid and a hunter.
A hunter will get fear. We'll get scare beast.
Yeah, but that's not the same as, well, spear, it's fear for beasts.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes in handy. All right. Well, I think we're doing pretty good with this week with stuff we're doing. Anything else you've been doing?
No, that's about it. I mean, besides, I didn't get to play as much as I'd liked. So, because I had a little bit of a family emergency, but it's all good, and I'm gonna be back in the game. So.
And I've just been doing a bunch of auction house stuff, and I've been making a lot of stuff. But the funny thing is, I was going gun ho with Aprillian, getting her tailoring up, and then she got to 300, and I realized she can't go any further until she gets to 50. So now I have a bunch of materials to make stuff, and I don't want to make anything because what's the point of making something if you don't get a level? I've been focusing on making lower level stuff like tuxedos for some friends who are getting married and wedding dresses and stuff, but I'm not going to make anything that, you know, that's yellow or.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you know, my hunter, I'm doing mining and engineering.
Ooh, how's that going?
Well, my engineering, I still have to kind of, you know, get up a little bit more, but I'm actually pretty excited about it because I think that with dual boxing, like, engineering, even though you're not gonna have a lot of like really, like advanced like clothes, like you're not gonna ever have anything that you can wear that's gonna be male equivalent.
Right.
But
it's
I'm gonna do
neat stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna do goblin engineering because Alaris, who's my paladin, my alliance paladin, he's doing gnomish engineering.
Okay, so you have a nice balance.
Yes, and then I have Harand is doing leatherworking and skinning, which is good for a druid because I want him to be able to wear the stuff he actually wants, you know.
You know, that brings me to a good subject that I want to discuss, but I'm going to pause here for 1 second, and then we're going to get into a subject I've wanted to talk about once. Okay, this is something that's kind of interesting to me because I've been hearing or reading, listening to people complain about what you can make versus what level you are and which, you know, people sometimes make decisions based on the gear that they can make. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you know, you're mentioning being a druid and therefore you're a leather worker. Or I hear people say, well, I want to be a blacksmith because I'm a warrior. I just wanted to hear what other people had to say or what you think, Lanford, about my theory on this. I never have entered into a profession based on what I need. I've always been looking at it based on two things. One is it interesting enough to me that I want to learn this, and two, what are the things that I can sell to get what I want? Am I making sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And you know what? I actually asked those same two questions. And my answer is, it's interesting to me if my character can use it. So that's the reason why I chose leatherworking. As opposed to anything else for my druid, because I thought it gives me like a rush to actually make something
that you can
wear yourself. To actually see like that thing that he's wearing, like the pants or whatever, that says for Harand, by Harand. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and
see,
that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I think that's just like really kind of exciting. So, for example, my mage does enchanting and tailoring. My warlock does alchemy and herbalism, and then I have, you know, mining and engineering for my hunter, and I have skinning and leatherworking for my druid. My alliance characters are actually more sporadic. Like Glanther has just leatherworking and skinning, even though he doesn't really. I mean, he can wear leather, but I mean, leatherworking is not the best thing for male. And then, you know, Alaris has mining and engineering.
Okay, I guess what I'm thinking is, to me, if when I look at the levels of things as they're being created, I never match up. For instance, Aprillian. Okay, she is a tailor, but I got tailoring on her just because I wanted to be able to make tuxedos and stuff, things like that. But right now, her tailoring is at 300, and none of the stuff that she's ever made, some of the stuff she's made has worked for her. But for the most part, she could either get stuff that's better on the auction house or stuff that she's gotten as quest rewards. And this, most of the stuff, when she started leveling or started doing tailoring or you know, was getting into it, she... I know I'm not making myself clear, but she soon passes. It's never at the same level. Whatever she's creating is either in the beginning too low, and as she gets higher, too high.
No, that makes sense.
So basically, what I've thought of is that I think most of the stuff you're gonna make, you're gonna either sell, give to somebody a lower alt. Again, it's part of my theory that we were meant to have alts in World of Warcraft, and that we're supposed to be sharing it with our lower level alts, or it's to make money. So I don't think that we should so much focus a lot on whether or not what we can make is going to be for ourselves, because I think that the window of us being in the same, even like, for instance, with Real Fire, she's my level 58 Tauren, and she's a level 335 leather worker. Most of the stuff she makes is too high for her to use. So I just want to put that out there, and I'd love to hear any comments from anyone who, you know, feels differently or feels the same, but I don't think there should be a focus on whether or not what profession you choose works for you.
There's also, like, another thing that I thought about when I made my characters was not only, like, what goes well with this character, but, like, what other characters have what things.
Right, exactly.
Like, one of the reasons why Harunda is doing mining and engineering she probably would have done better doing skinning and leatherworking or herbalism, because she's a Tauren, so she gets a big bonus for herbalism.
Yeah.
But I already had a character doing that. And I wanted to keep that character viable as, like, the alt that does that.
Right.
Now, I only have four, you know, Horde alts and two Alliance alts. So I still have the ability to go and have, you know, each alt have its own special thing that it does. You have a different position where you've already done all the profession, so you can start doing just random stuff, you know.
Right.
So, if I was at your position, maybe I'd think a little bit differently. But, I mean, I really, you know, kind of thought about, like, well, how can this character use this? And this character's and this and this character's and that. I mean, for my Warlock, you know, the herbalism and the alchemy is part of, like, their persona.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because they're like, my anti-hero character. And, you know, they want to do poison and the... you know, going to be all about, you know, demonology and stuff like that. Where on the other hand, I have, like, my Draenei paladin who, you know, he's, you know, a protection guy, but he's kind of like, I try to think of like what I would do. And I like little trinkets, you know what I mean? I'm the kind of person that likes little gadgets. And so I wanted to have him be kind of the engineer. And then, you know, Glanther, he's leatherworking and skinning, because I chose that way back in the day before I kind of even got into like the role-playing server kind of stuff. When I just was like, oh, leatherworking, that sounds good. You know, like, why not? And so that's a long time ago. And the fact that he's level 70 and he only has 205 leatherworking, it shows that, like, for that character, like, he was not the person who I was interested in professions with. I explored different aspects of that character than professions. I have, you know, my paladin has much higher, you know, skill levels, like, proportionally, because I'm trying to focus on professions. I want to explore that with him. So the professions are, I mean, they're just a lot of fun to kind of play around with.
Right.
So
we'd like to hear from you at controlaltwild@gmail.com. That's controlaltwild@gmail.com. And let us know what you think about professions and how they're supposed to work. I think There's many ways to do it, and there's no set ways, but it's nice to explore different options. Speaking of email, do you want to read a couple of emails?
Sure. So we got an email from Tria, and it says, "Hey, Brilliant and Glanther, it's Tria again, 70 Locke. I don't know if you had this answer questioned yet." I think that questioned answered. I don't know. But in episode 48, the question of what the choice between Infernal or Fellhound was raised. What the choice in these quests is that one of the two different offhand items, if I remember correctly, is that the Infernal is for increasing the damage of fire spells in the destruction tree, and the Fellhunter gives you the choice is to increase shadow damage, such as those in the affliction tree. However, in my opinion, what you get from Outland easily outdoes these quickly. Unless you really need the experience, I recommend skipping them. They are very long and almost now pointless chain. Well, thanks, guys, and keep up the good work on the podcast.
Right. Okay. Now, that's a good point. And there's always going to be a few things. Thank you, first of all, Tria, for your email. We love to hear emails and, keep them coming. And she brings up, or he brings up, a great point about the quests that are from Vanilla WoW, versus what's going on in Outland and, and on the way. Also, there's a whole bunch of what I call a quest fade, when you start going forward. And now that we're going to encounter, everyone's going to encounter this a lot more frequently because of the speed increase in leveling and, and in, the rewards from quests, is that you're going to now have a bunch of quests that are going to be either,
green or gray.
Right. Or
very quickly.
Or just there's just going to be some that are, there seems to be more quests as well. So there's just going to be some that are a lot higher that are going to give you more XP and much quicker in dealing with higher level mobs. So that it's almost like, you don't even want to do these other quests. But it's hard for me to pass up profession specific quests. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's like your Achilles heel.
Right. So, I don't know. It just seems like to me, when they're profession specific, they're like special. Because, like, it's a warlock quest. So, no one else is going to be, non-warlock is going to be able to do it.
I mean, it probably gives you, rep, which is, I like rep. I think rep is like one of the things that is almost as addicting as gaining profession skill. When you see that little number appear over your head when you go up a skill level in professions, like when you get that rep and you say like +350, +250, +500. I love that +500. You're like, I made a dent in that 24,000 or whatever it is to get to exalted, It's very. I find that to be really exciting, and those long chain quests often let you do that.
Right, and it's such a challenge to do it. Also, you know what I've been doing too is some factions I actually put that extra bar on the bottom, and
I do that too.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat to watch it grow. And then when you get honored or with someone and they do that, you get that little glow. It's such a nice feeling. So I decided I wanted to go ahead and finish this, and as Tria said, the only difference between the two, which I came to realize, but it's nice, and I thank you for bringing it to our attention, is that you get the different gear at the end, and a lot of times it's hard to decide which gear to get, and it's kind of neat because I like the fact that the gear, the reward. Have you done this one? You get a chance.
No, it's much too high for me yet for my warlock.
Oh, I didn't know with. Didn't you have another warlock? Oh, still.
Oh, but it was only level 31, so okay. This is. Yeah.
You get a choice between two objects. One is the two-handed one, and one is the offhand one. Aprilian is currently using a really nice sword. It's a blue one, and so she opted for the offhand one, and it's always nice. But it was interesting that it gave you choices. It was kind of confusing about the choices, but it made it a different and a unique quest. And you end up going to Dustwallow Marsh, which is a whole new area anyway, so it's nice that she had a reason to go out there, even though it was was for a weird chain that some people might be able to skip. But thanks for that information, Tria. And we have one more email.
So why don't you read this one?
Okay. This one was actually from our winner. You know, we had a contest a couple of weeks ago. It was Tell Us How You Play, and Segalia sent a letter that we felt embodied the spirit of Control Alt WoW and playing with alts on World of Warcraft. But I was just letting Segalia know that we shipped the prize, which is the battle chest for World of Warcraft. And Segalia wrote me back, I have a quick question about dual boxing. Do you group when you dual box, or do you stay ungrouped since your group tunes share XP? Thanks. That's a very good question, don't you think?
That is a good question. And my answer is a resounding, it depends.
Yes.
there is no right or wrong answer there. Right now, I think that I'm usually, like, because my characters are the same level, I like to keep them grouped.
That's the key, the level of the characters.
But, for example, once I get to, like, level, like, 22 or, like, 23 or 24, if I wanted to kind of spice things up and use my hunter with my mage, maybe what I would do is not group. Or I'm thinking about taking Glanther and moving him from one account to another so that I can dual box with my paladin.
Right.
If that's the case, because he's level 70, I would not group him. I would just have my paladin just go in and get the first few shots in, and then have Glanther come in and kind of clean up at the end.
Right. Or you could do like that guy did when that went to 70, the first guy that got to 70. Remember that? He did the tagging, and his guildmates came in and did the killing. But let me just point out a couple of theories on that. And you can vary this whole thing, because sometimes even when you're with a lower level character, and they, because of the point that what we're talking about is, it used to be that you would get XP no matter what if you were in a group. You would get the same amount of XP. You kill, you're level 30, you get a 50, you're in a group that's killing level 50 mobs, you would still get the same amount of XP as if you had killed a 50 mob by yourself. But Blizzard changed that so that if you're, the amount of XP, I don't know what the exact formula is, but it goes down depending on the level of the person with you, so that you're not getting, you know, there's no advantage. There's really no advantage to the quote-unquote power leveling with a higher person. But there is volume.
That is true.
That's the only advantage. If you are with somebody and they are killing a mob that they can kill quickly, and you are able to, you know, hang out and stay alive while they kill all these mobs, you do get faster XP. When I have a Prillian in Thalwood, killing fur blogs to get rep for the Timber Maw, she stays grouped. And she gets 100 points here or there, I mean, with every kill. And while Aunt Rillian or Trishel, who's level 53, or Realfire, who's level 58, kills mobs, she still gets 100 points, 114 points. So if it's frequent enough, she's probably getting as much as she would if she was actually, you know, at somebody doing it at her own level. The advantage is that she's usually, you know, just helping out in a small way and taking less damage while these guys are doing all the work. And because she did that, she's now honored with the Timbermore clan at level 40. So that's kind of neat. So,
that's neat.
Yeah.
I also can see, if you want to do like a lot of grinding, and you have like a level 40 character, and you have to go and grind level 40 characters yourself.
Right.
You could bring in like a level 70 and just follow
the
level 70. And then just kind of pick up, like set it to group loot, free for all.
Free for all, yeah.
And then the level 70 just goes by and just picks them off really quickly. And then you just kind of go by afterwards and just kind of pick them up as you go along.
Right. Or for instances, of course. Instances, you have to be grouped, or you won't be in there together. And that can be kind of nice if you're going into an instance to kill X amount of mobs of, you know, three belly dancer or whatever. Or, you know what I'm saying? Not belly dancers, but, you know, when there's a bunch of mobs, but they're different kinds of mobs. Like when you go into Wailing Cavern,
yeah,
and you have to kill all the deviates, but there's a deviate of one kind and a deviate of this kind. And so if it's that kind of quest, then it doesn't matter what level it is. You'll still complete the quest. And since the quests give you more XPs now, it's not so much how much XP you get while you're doing the quest as much as
how much you get for completing them.
Right. So, I hope that answers your question, Segalia. It all depends on the situation, and there's many variations, and it's still a lot of fun to group. The other thing, too, though, and I have done what I call the escort, which is having one person, they're not grouped, but the other one's just behind them, and in case they need help, they're there to make sure they survive. So that's all. That's another way you can do it. All right, so I think that brings us to the end of our letters, and we're going to pause again. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode, episode 50. It's great to be at 50. Ding. And we appreciate all the letters, and we're enjoying Lunar Festival. We want to hear from everybody as to how you're playing Lunar Festival, particularly with your alts. Make sure you get those lower-level alts into Moonglade and get those flight paths. Flight paths are important. And there are links in the show note for WoW Wiki, which has a great list of all the elders and a great explanation of what Lunar Festival is. Anything you want to add, Glantha?
No, I feel like I talked a lot.
Well, we'll look forward to next episode and how you're doing with your dual boxing. And anybody got any macros for Glantha? Send them in. We'd love to share them.
I could really use a macro that makes me feel less guilty for playing Horde characters. So if you can find that macro, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Just, we'll close it out now. And this is Aprillion for the Horde.
And Glanther for the Alliance.
Aldir Shalah. Go in peace.